Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
What a day.
Yes, only Samira is not here today.
She is not. Another one of her
kids. She has another child graduating from college today, so she's off watching them, you know, throw their mortarboard in the air.
Beautiful day for graduations.
Oh,
yes.
I hope it's outside.
Should be one of those outdoor. But in the north, if it's one of... You know, she's got international kids, so is this a local, or off to Oxford again?
No, she went to Oxford for that one's graduation several weeks ago, and I think this one is UW, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. We'll see. But as you can tell from that melodious bass voice.
Cut it out now.
Oh, boy.
This is not... Dr. Umat.
No.
Sitting to my left.
No jewelry.
No bangles.
No bangles.
I promise you, no bangles.
This is Dr. Michael Gilbert.
Good morning.
Our favorite ophthalmologist.
Yes.
Who is with us today. So if you have eye questions or comments or, you know, inquiries, you can check with Dr. Gilbert.
Yay.
He's your eye guy.
If you are interested in the bad stuff that is happening to you as you age, that stuff of getting slower, fatter, weaker, dumber, sexless, and generally miserable, you might want to give me a call.
Yes.
And we'll talk about any or all of that. And Lynette, well, she'll
I'm here.
Just,
I'm just the fun.
She'll add color.
She's icing to
I'm
that cake.
Yes. I am your icing. Sugar-free, of course.
Oh. Well,
it's my birthday mug.
Sugar cut.
Yeah, it's got
it's got
all the things.
It's got to be sweet and greasy to be really tasty.
With sparkles. Yeah, there you go. So we're all in the studio today, and we welcome your calls. And don't wait till the very end. We want you to call in and be part of our show. So I'm going to go ahead and give you that phone number so that you can call right now and get in the call queue at 1-800-465-8770. Whatever your questions are for Dr. Jerry Mixon or Dr. Michael Gilbert, this is the day to call with questions about glaucoma.
Ooh.
RLE. Did I say that right? No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Oh, I did. Okay. RLE. I usually say it a different way.
We all talk in abbreviations. MRI and RLE and IPL.
Yeah.
IPL is another one.
Ooh, yes. Find out what that means and how you can talk to Dr. Michael Gilbert about that. Or your vision is just failing. Or, of course, the most popular, I have dry eyes. What can I do?
Yes.
Yeah, that seems to be one you deal with a lot.
That's true enough.
So here are your doctors. So Dr. Mixon, fill us in. Medical stuff, any exciting news we need to talk about? Last week was political.
Yeah.
We won't do political today.
There. That was so smooth. Last week was political. She is so smooth.
Learned. And we won't do political today.
I didn't hear her say that, but it was kind of...
It was assumed.
There, but you know what? She's wrong.
Whoa, Lynette. That was... She tried.
Okay.
She tried.
But Dr. Gilbert, you and I should probably step out
I'll be right back.
Soapbox.
But today... The medical, political, and legal all coincided.
I love that.
Because
I think
down in Texas, the Texas legislature a year or so ago passed a law against doing gender-affirming medical procedures on minors. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to chop off body parts on adults, that's up to you and them, but you're not allowed to do it to children.
Right.
And a surgeon at Texas Children's Hospital became a whistleblower and said, guess what? After you passed the law and after the hospital swore publicly that they were not going to do it anymore, they're still implanting hormone capsules into children.
That would be against the law.
And at least
it is against the law in Texas.
And at least one source that I heard is that they were still doing surgeries.
Yes.
Wow.
And
which perhaps is even more damp. No, not perhaps. It's clearly more damp.
It is clearly more damp.
Yes.
But then here's the part where it gets political on top of it. Because when he blew the whistle on Texas, on the hospital in Texas, the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. suddenly opened an investigation of him and notified him that he is being investigated for potentially four different felonies.
The whistleblower. Of course.
Because he tattled on the hospital doing something that the administration wants done. And so the whistleblower is being investigated. The hospital? No. Just the whistleblower.
Just carry on with what you're doing.
But interesting, of course, they won't tell him what the felonies are.
No.
They've just been notified that
he is
under investigation.
I was hoping you were going to share that because I've not heard on what grounds they were.
Yeah. And he has not been told what grounds he's being investigated. Only that there are four potential felonies that he's being investigated.
Wow.
Shall I go further with politics?
I know.
Politics and law, just for fun.
Here it comes.
Well, I thought it was. You know, in the United States, one of the basics, if you're going to be tried for a crime, they have to tell you what crime you're being tried for.
Right. And when they arrest you, they have to tell you.
Well, yeah, they have to tell you.
What you're being arrested for.
But if you're indicted, the indictment has to have specifics. Because how do you defend yourself against something you don't know what you're being tried for? Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is one of the reasons that people are looking at Mr. Trump's last trial so askance. Because the indictment didn't tell him what he was being tried for.
No.
And even during the trial, the prosecutors waited till the last day.
Even to the very end.
Yes.
Even
yes.
to the last day.
Yes. That they still had not told him precisely what he had to be tried. And the jury was told they didn't have to be specific as to unanimous as to what crime.
That's different from any jury
that I've heard of. They had a choice of three. Mm-hmm. And we don't know who voted for which.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, kind of interesting. So, yes, that one is going to get turned around by the first honest court it gets to.
Which may take a while.
Yeah, it could take a while. Yeah,
you may have to get it out of New York.
Mm.
But no federal judge is going to let somebody be tried and convicted without even knowing precisely what they're being convicted of.
Yes.
So, anyway.
It's the new law.
Or lack of same.
Lack of, yes.
Yeah.
Let's make laws.
The new lawless laws in America.
Yeah. Hmm. How about you, Dr. Gilbert? You have anything new from this week?
You know, it's really hard for me to suddenly swing my mind from the depths of our political
chasm of...
I don't want to say decay, but
ickness.
In my heart, it hurts me
it does.
To see
it
what's
does.
Going on right
yeah.
now. Much of your words from last week, in my hopes that we can heal and move on and reach back to, you know, especially...
Yes.
Just thinking about D-Day and what it really meant, not what some people are trying to hang on it, but knowing what this country has meant to the world and those people who made that possible, are we still of that caliber and character today? I worry about that.
I do.
I deeply fear not. I think we've become so self-indulgent. And I put, you know... This man, I am pointing to my right, Dr. Mixon, served with great honor in amazing ways. Me, I've been a good kid, but honestly...
I was a good kid.
Not, you know, the things I did, you know, I've worked in veterans hospitals and what have you, but I have not served in
the
way
country.
Putting my life on the line. Would I? You know, if I look at the average American today, I worry about that. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to turn from that because I'd rather talk about medicine.
That's
I did
good.
Come
yes.
here. So you were talking about glaucoma this morning.
Yes. Yes.
And one of the headlines that I read, and I didn't get to the full research article, but the abstract of a glaucoma article that I'm very interested in looked at 24,000 patients, and if I remember this was European, a European study, and they looked at junk foods and glaucoma and found that there was significant increase in intraocular pressures and glaucoma damage associated with if you had four or more servings of junk foods. And you can imagine, I don't have to tell you what they counted as junk foods, because it's pretty much the what you and I would consider junk food, sodas and
the pops that ship the four damaging.
And breaking it down, those junk foods that were the most disruptive were those that were the sugary snacks.
And the very high
increase in glucose.
The highly refined foods.
Right. Increase in glucose. And so that's interesting that that's hitting glaucoma. Not far from that, swinging just a little bit, there was an article that looked, and this was U.S. Publication that looked at 42,000 patients who had bariatric surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind quickly thought, well, Ozempic and those are achieving, you know, dramatic weight loss.
Yes.
Now, of course, there's big differences between those two, but the weight loss achievement may well parallel what can be achieved with bariatric
surgery. To some degree, yes.
Right, right. Yeah. There are obvious physiologic differences. They're huge. But still, we get some of the benefits. And what they showed with this 42,000 with a control group of hundreds of thousands, that they were looking at the long-term differences in eye disease, and there was substantial decrease in diabetic eye disease, in vein occlusions that can cause temporary or permanent loss of vision, and cataracts.
Mm.
So a lot of eye diseases and diseases throughout the body. Because retinal vascular diseases are the only place in the whole body where we can see the vascular damage, mm-hmm. the microvascular damage that's being done in the kidney and every, you know, all
the kidney, the heart, the brain.
That's right. All throughout the body. So it is a model. It's, you know, the only place we can actually see those blood vessels and see the damage. But it's happening in all of the organs throughout the body, brain,
and,
et cetera.
Yeah, and well, very interesting. I was also reading about dietary impact on, you know, on our health, and I kind of came at it from a slightly different model. We are looking very hard at putting together a program to reverse cardiovascular disease.
Of course you are.
It is the number one killer of America.
Yeah.
And the largest cohort of people that suffer from cardiovascular disease happen to be over 50. Yeah. So we're saying, okay, this is a disease of aging, mm-hmm. and we actually do have ways to reverse that disease. And I like that approach because typically, let's say you get angina, you're getting chest pain with exertion and short of breath, and you go to your emergency room and they run an EKG and do some studies and say, oh my goodness, you know, you've got cardiovascular disease, let's get you to a cardiologist, and he'll either do your stress echo or then he'll go ahead and do a an angiogram. And then if your vessels are bad enough, they'll go ahead and stick in a stent or two or five to hold those vessels open, put you on some statins, and send you home. Mm. Maybe put you on a exercise program and tell you to eat less junk food and lose some weight, but knowing in advance you're not going to, because Americans just don't.
Patch you up a little bit and put you back on the road.
Oh, boy.
But the whole thrust of that care, the statins, the stents, et cetera, they rescue you from your immediate life-threatening issue, and they are designed to slow the progress of your vessels continuing to go bad, but not to reverse them.
And they don't fix them. Like, it's not
really
cured.
Right. we actually do know how to reverse cardiovascular disease, take those vessels that are narrowed and open them up again, not just in your heart, but in your brain, your periphery, everywhere. And my question is, why aren't we doing it? And so, you know, the question is, why not? And let's put together a program and do it.
Ooh.
Anyway, the music says we've got to
take
a break.
A quick break.
We're going to get back to some more medicine here in just a minute.
Oh, yes, we are. And some more calls. We have the phone lines lighting up as we like first thing in the show. 1-800-465-8770 is that number. We will take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment.
If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mind. With a 9-foot grin, a 10-piece band, and a 12-foot chorus line. I'd race.
If you need craft supplies.
You're the one, huh?
Crafting, huh?
My daughter does crafts.
I haven't done it in a long time. Scrapbooking, digital scrapbooking is my thing. Go somewhere fun, and then scrapbook about it. All right.
Are we on the air again?
I guess we are.
Well, let's put our headphones back on and talk.
I think so. I need to turn my headphones up a little bit louder. Woo! Okay, yeah. So everybody knows that I'm a crafter and scrapbooker, and that's what I like to do.
But during the commercial, we were chatting about, you know, her husband, who's a handyman and likes to fix things and get tools and use them.
And he's off today, so I'm like, oh, he's listening to the show, and I'm like, get in the garden.
But you know, I don't do tools myself.
You don't do tools.
I did that when I was young. I worked as a framing carpenter and a roofer and all sorts of stuff when I was, you know, helping drag myself, my poor self, through college and feed a family at the same time I was going to school. But I left that behind me decades and decades ago. And now, you know, what I need is a good friend with a lot of tools to come and do all the honeydew chores around my house.
And has a lot of tools.
As long as I'm picking those kinds of friends, you know, I need a friend with a private jet.
So I've tried a slightly different strategy, Jerry.
Yeah. Yacht. Dr. Mixon, you want a friend with a yacht?
I also need a friend with a yacht.
Yes.
I have no such friends. My youngest daughter is so slick at that.
Yeah.
She gets invitations to, you know, yachts in Indonesia and scuba diving and whatever. And I'm thinking, babe, why don't I?
Because you're not a hot chick.
I mean,
that's pretty simple.
She has that going for her.
That's awesome. I have friends who do hair.
Girls get invited to stuff that guys just don't.
It really is true.
That's true.
Doggone.
The world is not fair.
I want to be your daughter's friend.
So since I am not attractive enough to garner those invitations, what I've done is when I let my kids know, what are you up to, Dad? Well, I've got some work that I need to do on the ceiling. Oh, why don't we come over and help you with that?
Yeah.
Up on the roof.
Anything that sounds like it might involve a ladder. They will suddenly volunteer. First they scold me just a little bit. And then they
Well, you know, I've got a similar issue. My wife is very protective of it.
Yes. No ladders for you, Dr. Mixon.
Boy, she does not want me to let. She doesn't. No. And so she and my daughter are going to be in Asia for 5 weeks or six weeks this summer. They're taking off. My daughter is going to, she's in the sixth grade. Her sixth grade class is going to South Korea for 2 weeks.
Fantastic.
And then my wife is going to fly over, pick her up, take her to Chengdu, China, where she's got her set up to have an everyday fencing coach 7 days a week for a month. And then they fly up to Beijing for a international fencing tournament.
Oh.
Wow.
Okay. And then they'll come home. And that's going to mean me stuck here for myself for, you know, five or 6 weeks or something.
Oh, boy.
And
I feel a book coming on.
So I'm trying to say, okay, well, what am I going to do during that time? Mm-hmm. And so we keep coming up with ideas. And every idea I come up with,
she has a better one.
She just nixes.
She has the, have a no, you're not doing that.
No, it's just you can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
I said, look, I have not been on horseback for a few years.
Nope.
So I'd like to go up to Montana. There's a ranch that will let me go up and spend 2 weeks on horseback in the mountains driving cattle. No. She remembers that Christopher Reeves fell off his horse and got paralyzed and died. So, she said, no, you can't do that.
So you're like, next plan.
Okay, next plan. Why do you say I go down to the Caribbean? and spend a couple of weeks kite surfing. And she say, because, you know, if I fall down, I'm falling in 80-degree water.
She said didn't like that much better.
There's sharks.
There's sharks in the water.
No, yes, good.
You cannot
good
go. I don't want you bit by
she's
sharks.
Thinking like a woman, yes. Okay, so that's out of the question. So and you're not going to lay on the beach, so plan
no,
C.
I'm an adrenaline junkie. I got to come up with something a little more fun than that, you know. So I said, okay, tell you what. Why don't I go get my physical for my pilot's license renewed. I haven't flown for a while. And I'll go down to Southern California and spend a few weeks taking aerobatic flight lessons so I can learn to do stunts and rolls and an airplane for a while.
That was the word that said.
And she finally said, have you considered horseback riding?
Yeah.
She decided maybe horseback. You know, let me help you look into that.
I'm thinking that's what Dr. Mixon horseback wanted all along. He just kept up in the ante. It's
what she keeps suggesting are things that just would bore me silly.
Of course.
You know? She wants me to go to Europe and spend a couple of weeks on a river cruise.
Ah, yes.
Okay. Cruising down the river with 80-year-olds.
Oh.
And watching the scenery go by.
You can do watercolor.
I can do that.
Painting there.
So I don't know what I'm going to do this summer.
Jumping off.
But why don't you and I take off and go have some fun for a week or 10 days?
Sounds like good.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it sounds pretty good.
I know my safety committee is not going to okay acrobatic flying.
Okay, your safety
committee. Well, my safety committee, to which I go home, is very interventional. I used to have a chainsaw, and I looked forward to.
And my wife sold my chainsaw.
No. Mine gave it away.
Oh, my wife sold my chainsaw on eBay.
Look
and
at
it
the
was
phones.
And it was a family
flashing
piece. It was my dad's chainsaw. He was a lumberman, so it was serious.
A chainsaw.
I'm telling you, it made big noise.
Oh,
I loved it.
With the hockey mask.
Cut it out now.
Okay.
With that 3-foot blade.
Right.
Oh, boy. All right. I'm bringing you back down to earth.
Oh, right.
Yeah, pulling them back down. They're dreaming.
We have some phone calls.
Is this a medical show?
Okay.
It is a medical show.
Why don't we... How close are we to a commercial? And
you know what? We've got 6 minutes before our break, so we can
so let's take a call.
Let's take a call.
Question or six.
All right.
Dr. Gilbert, are you ready? You've got an eye question
very
coming.
Very excited.
From Phil. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, Phil.
Hello, Phil.
Good morning. Yes, I have two questions. Well, my eye question is all my life, seems like my eyes get tired. I've managed to make it through a professional career getting ready to retire, so I've done okay. But
what kind of
I've
professional career? What do you do?
A lawyer. So
a lot of screen time? Yeah. Go ahead.
But even before screens, when it was just books, it was, I did okay, but, I was never able to do as much as I'd like to, and I never got a real good explanation for it. So just curious about that.
Sure. So I can tell you the most common reason for eye fatigue. Now, but eye fatigue is a little vague. So when you're reading, how long can you read or computer before you start to notice what you describe fatigue? Is it fluctuation in vision or comfort or both?
Comfort. I mean, in other words, it's not like the vision goes bad or anything. It's just
okay. Many people can only, with the same condition, many people can only read for a half hour or an hour, and they start to notice fluctuations in vision. And whether it's a fluctuation in vision or comfort, it's most commonly caused by an interesting phenomena on how our eyes interface with reading and screens. So first of all, our gland system, the primary gland system that keeps the eye comfortable and the vision clear, releases tears when, but only when, you blink. Okay? When you blink, dozens of glands, microglands that surround the surface of the eye, on the edge of the eyelid, release micropulses of tears. Every time you blink, average blink rate is about 20 times a minute. But on the computer, or reading, it goes as low as 2 times a minute. So what happens then is that you have quantitative decrease in the amount of tears that are released to the surface. And so you quite quickly, you can have fluctuations in either vision, comfort, or both. Okay? Now, the problem with that system then becomes much greater, actually, because that gland system also, and this is what I think has affected you over your career, that gland system lives and dies by the old adage, if you don't use it, you
lose it.
You lose it. And so I often, I daily surprise people at how much permanent gland loss they have. And it often correlates with their screen time and their career. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I can look in and I as I'm doing the exam, I'll look in and at their eyes and I'll say, you spend a lot of time on computers, don't you? Now, of course, in the Northwest, I kind of have
an advantage. Yeah, everybody right. does.
Right. Mm-hmm. Most people do. But it often correlates with screen time, so much so that we're seeing degrees of gland loss younger and younger and younger, especially in the tech community. And I even have some young teens who are typically male heavy gamers who come in their teens with the eye symptoms expecting me to give them a drop, and I have to show them that they have some permanent gland loss.
Wow.
So what happens then? So depending on the degree of gland loss, oftentimes we can recover the glands that you have left in function. And part of the trick is to get you to relearn how to integrate blinking into your workflow so that you don't have to stop the amount of time that you read or work on the computer. You just have to trick your brain into blinking more so that you're releasing your normal tears so you don't have that fatigue factor.
Okay, and I wanted to get to my other question before your break.
Good.
And it's
yes,
totally
sir.
Different. I recently started listening to your program, very interested, but we're planning to move to Texas in a couple of months, so I wonder if there's any similar program down there.
Oh, have I got a treat for you.
So since it's Dr. Mixon's program, I can say there's none better. Why would you look?
That's right.
Just stream it.
Yes. You know, the radio show, if you go to the two stations that we are on, and you can down...
I'm intrigued by the idea of actually becoming a patient. That is...
Oh.
Okay. Well, we actually have a solution for you, too.
Yes. And we're going to take a quick break.
Yep. And come back, and I'll tell you a little bit about what's in the near future for those of you in the rest of the country.
That's right, because we have listeners that call in that are patients from all over. So, Phil, stay on the line. And you know what? Bob, John, Mary, we're going to get to your calls, too. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Time rock and roll. Good morning. If you're just joining us, Leading Edge Medicine. Good morning. Lynette here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Dr. Samira Umat off with another one of her intelligent, amazing kids graduating. So she's off today, and we have Dr. Michael Gilbert here, and we're talking about eyes, and we're also talking about longevity with Phil.
Yeah. Okay. Well, a couple of things, Phil. One thing, you will be able to stream our show. Because our current show, you can get apps for the two different radio stations. And with those apps, you can stream our show from anywhere on the planet Earth if you have Wi-Fi. So that listening to the show is easy. Becoming a patient, while you're here, of course, we can get you signed up and in the clinic and get you started on your care. Mm-hmm. We are looking at developing a national program. One of the difficulties is that according to the law, while we can do things with telemedicines, by law, it's where the patient is sitting is where you're practicing medicine. So I am in process of signing up some of my physicians to get licensed in the entire United States. We're applying for all 50 states so that anywhere we have a patient, we can see them once here and then get them established as a legitimate patient. And then we can do them by video calls, anywhere in the country, and write their prescriptions and get their care and order their lab work remotely and the whole works. So, you know, this is currently in the works, right? The other kind of interesting segue we're making in our marketing here is that this radio show is about to become a live stream video feed. We are currently sitting in a remodeled video studio that we are in the process of building out. We've gone from about 100 square feet to 600 square feet.
Yes, I love that. So if you hear an echo, that's why.
Yeah. And in about 3 weeks, we will no longer just be radio. We'll actually be video, and you'll be able to see us. And so when we stand up and dance in the commercials, you'll be able to dance right along with us.
That's right. When we sneak out to go get more coffee or tea or
you'll
whatever.
You'll see us get up and walk away, yes. So we're bringing in the cameras, the lights. I'm building in a whole new studio. So that this show is going to be a live video, and then it's going to be saved on essentially every channel, YouTube and Rumble and you name it. If it's out there, we're going to have them there. And you'll be able to find us, follow us, stream us, and watch our shows anywhere, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. The shows will be available for you to not just hear, but also to watch.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yeah.
Sounds great. So I look forward to working with you when you get your national network going.
Well, and that's the purpose of doing the video stream is mm-hmm. that the streaming is not just local. The streaming is worldwide. So people anywhere in the country.
Yeah, your patients that have moved that are still patients.
And people are snowbirders that spend their winters in the warm country and their summers here, or the people like you that are moving. They'll still be able to be patients at Longevity Medical Clinic and see and hear all our shows.
Yeah.
Phil, I do want to share the good news. I think I gave you enough background, but I didn't really tell you the promise of the future. And that is, we have a lot of tools to turn around, the gland damage that leads to that accelerated fatigue when you're reading computer, television, other tasks, especially reading. So, you know, I think it would be hard to tell you exactly what you need without looking at how much gland damage has been done over those long years of law practice. This is a condition from which I suffer myself, so I am quite passionate about it, and keeps me going. So we are on the leading edge of treating dry eyes, partly because I know the deal myself. So let us know, and we'd be glad to help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
all right. Did we get all your topics covered there, Phil?
Yes, thank you.
Very good. Thank you for your call. All right, we're going to head down to the next. I'm going to push this button right here. We're headed to Quincy. Bob is on the line. Hi there, Bob.
Good morning. Can you hear
good
me?
Good morning.
Good morning, yes. How can we help?
Hi, Bob.
Oh, first of all, Dr. Gilbert, thank you so much. I had refractive lens exchange from you 2 years ago.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
My eyes are fabulous.
Isn't it amazing? Best news is, Bob, that change should last the rest of your life.
Yes.
Isn't that the coolest thing?
I try to tell people about you and Dr. Mixon, and sometimes they roll their eyes.
Roll their eyes. Well, I feel complimented by that. So
they can roll their eyes right over to the Vision Institute.
I had refractive lens exchange myself before it had the name. Mm-hmm. Before the name was invented, I knew what the implant technologies would do, and I said, "This is perfect. Why isn't this called something?" But
yeah.
I didn't get a name. I just had it done. So I'm glad to hear you're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
What else can we help you with?
Yes,
thank you. Well, Dr. Mixon has talked about this before. I think it's a colorectal thing that you take home with you and send the test back to the lab and you get the results?
Yes. Yes, it's one of the brand names is called Cologuard.
It came back positive.
Okay.
So I talked to my doctor at the office, and I said, well, I'd like to do the test again. And the last test I took, it came back negative. And I believe Dr. Mixon has talked about this before,
yep,
about the chances of that test. But then she told me she wanted to give me the advice of the doctor, and the doctor thought it would be wise for me to get the colonoscopy done anyway. And the disturbing part that they told me was, and if you pass that and it's all okay, then you don't have to do it for another 10 years. And I thought, that doesn't sound...
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, how old are you?
I'm 75.
Okay. At 75, the Cologuard people, the people that developed this test, recommend against using the test in people our age. I'm 76. I'm not supposed to use it either. And the reason we aren't supposed to use it, the reason we aren't supposed to use it is that the incidence of false positives is too high in old colons. Okay. As we age, our colons, just like our skin and every other part of our body, are getting beat up, and more abnormal cells are being shed into the lumen of the colon. And so the incidence of false positives in people in their 70s is about 5 or 6%. So for every 100 tests that should have been negative, 5 or 6 people will get a test that says, you have a cancer signal here.
Mm.
And so the fact that you were positive, you repeated the test, and it was negative the second time, makes it highly likely that you got bit by that, that, you know, you were an older person who got a false positive testing. Now, even at 76, I still use my Cologuard every year. I do it because my mother had colon cancer. My father had colon cancer. So I've got a bad family history. And with my particular genome and the fact that I'm in that age group, you know, I want to follow it. As long as my tests are negative, I'd rather just, you know, poop in the toilet, wipe the swab on the stool and send it off, than to go through the prep for a colonoscopy.
Yeah.
It's not the colonoscopy that's tough, it's the prep.
No,
and of course, and the spending, a couple of $1,000 a pop. Because at our age, we are no longer in that group in which they will do it under Medicare. Because Medicare doesn't recommend it for us older folks. They just figure that, we're going to die of something. Why bother looking for colon cancer? So as long as my test is negative, I'm going to skip my colonoscopies. Now, if my test ever turns positive, then I'll go get the colonoscopy. Because, yes, it might be a false positive, but it might be a real positive. So a negative is a negative. A positive might be a real positive, or it might be a false positive. Either way, I'm going to get my colon, looked at. Somebody put a scope up there and take a peek. I would be a bit reassured by the fact that your second test was negative. My guess is you probably had a false positive the first time. But since we're talking about a disease that can kill you, I'd say go get the colonoscopy just for safety's sake.
What I had thought was I'd go ahead and wait a year and take the test again.
Okay. I do the test every year.
My mother did have, she ended up with cancer real close to her anus.
Mm-hmm.
But with her, they quit testing her because they said at your age, you don't need it anymore.
I know. That just irritates the hell out of me. They said, you're old.
Yeah.
Who cares if you get cancer? No, not acceptable.
Yeah, there you go. So I know what you're saying. You're the doctor on the radio, and I'm going to follow my plan and go ahead and have the test done again next year.
Okay.
And if it comes back positive again, I will consider getting the colonoscopy.
Yeah. You know, I'd rather have a test I didn't need than to have a test, not have a test I did need. So, so I'd opt for it earlier, and but you know, your plan's not that bad.
I'm a patient of longevity too.
Okay.
I've been used to you guys quite a while now.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you, sir. I'm glad you're a patient. Hopefully, we'll be another 30 years.
There you go.
I hope you're around for another 30 years.
I plan to be.
Yeah, he will be. If anybody, it could be Dr. Mixon will be.
I mean, despite my family genetics and the fact that, you know, I am high risk for a fair number of diseases, I'm doing everything I reasonably can to have a full and joyous life. And, you know, I don't want to be one of those people that lives to be 105 in the nursing home, sitting there getting my diaper changed every day, and because I know my name, they think I'm sharp. I want to live every day I'm alive.
You'll be the guy interviewed at 105 for jumping out of a helicopter, because by then, your wife will say, why not?
Why
enjoy?
Not? Sure.
Yeah.
And I'll be talking.
No,
talking
seems unlikely.
Everybody. Yeah, you're right. I was just giving him hope there.
We can always hope. But yes, you know, the thing about colon cancer right now that scares me is that we are seeing an enormous rush of colon cancers in men and women in their 30s.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about that a little bit when I get back, because it's kind of fascinating. The higher you are on the economic scale, the higher the risk you are of getting an early colon cancer, which is kind of bizarre. This is not a disease of the poor. This is now becoming a disease of the middle class and up.
Okay.
So it must be dietary lifestyle.
I think mostly dietary.
Dietary lifestyle.
So we're going to chat about that when we get back.
All right. So, Bob, thank you so much for those questions. We're going to talk more with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Gilbert. Mary, Lisa, John, we'll get to your questions as well. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started into hum. Still, it's a real good bet. The best is yet to come.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that, because what we've had has been pretty damn good.
He's not talking politics, Dr. Gilbert. I don't think so. We're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Dr. Jerry Mixon with a big old smile on his face. Dr. Michael Gilbert here too from Northwest Vision Institute, answering your eye questions. I'm Lynette, and we're talking about what's going on
with the colon cancers
and why they're younger.
Yeah, and, you know, it's really kind of funny. I backed into this in kind of a roundabout way. I was actually doing research for our program to reverse cardiovascular disease. And one of the interesting things I came across was that the gut microbiome, the types of bacteria that we isolate from the bowel, has a big influence on who's going to die of heart attacks and strokes, which is really kind of fascinating. Mm-hmm. So I started looking at which bacteria are correlated with which diseases. And there are certain bugs that we're supposed to have in our gut that if they are in inadequate numbers, you know, don't have enough of these particular bacteria, we get an increased risk of colon cancers, inflammatory bowel disease, dermatitis, everything from psoriasis, cardiovascular disease, and dementia, diabetes are all related.
Kidney disease as well.
Yes, kidney disease as well, as related to which bacteria we have and do not have in our gut. And in what ratios, which is really kind of fascinating.
Wow.
And one of the really interesting things is that the good bacteria that tend to protect us against all of those diseases are bacteria that ferment carbohydrates into butyric acid, butyrate. And butyric acid-producing bacteria are in very low supply in people that develop cardiovascular disease and colon cancers and all sorts of other stuff. Because that inflammation in our bowel those peptides and enzymes related to inflammation in our gut is then spread throughout our entire body. The inflammatory peptides enter our bloodstream, and they hit us everywhere. Mm. You know, the first I became aware of this phenomenon was about 10 or 12 years ago when I saw a study showing that people who had arthritis in a hip had a higher risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke, and that when you fixed their hip, their risk of dying of heart attacks and stroke went down.
Oh.
Because it was the inflammation being produced in that hip that was getting dumped into the bloodstream. Well, it turns out that 70% of our immune system, 70% of our immune system is actually located in the Peyer's patches in our bowel. And so when we have an unhealthy bowel and we have the wrong bacteria and we have all that inflammation being produced there, our immune system goes crazy and we develop autoimmune diseases, cancers, heart attacks, and strokes. So I kind of backed into this colon cancer, actually starting off looking for cardiovascular disease, you know, the best ways to reverse cardiovascular disease. And then it kind of led me to our 30-year-olds getting colon cancer.
So I'm a longevity patient, Dr. Mixon, but I don't know, is there a JM longevity probiotic that we recommend?
There is one that I am in process of developing.
Of course there is.
Course
didn't
there
I
is.
Know that?
Yes.
Objection, Your Honor, leading the
Let's
witness.
Let's see. Yeah.
Yes.
And what would it be called?
There are actually three current probiotics
factor.
on the market that have the bacteria that I want.
Okay.
But what I
wanted, which bacteria?
Well, one of them is Bacillus coagulum.
Ooh.
Which is a really interesting one. It's a spore-forming one. A doctor called Dr. Gundry, who is really against lectins, is selling that one. And then there's another one that has Clostridium. I forget what the species of that Clostridium genus is. There's three different commercial ones out there right now. And what I'm asking my supplement guy to do is to approach the manufacturers of all three, you know, where they're getting them, and see if we can find someone that'll put all three of those strains into one product.
Yeah.
So you don't have to buy, because each of these are $50 and $60 a month.
Okay.
So you're buying three of them, you're $150 a month.
Wow. Okay.
If I can put them all together for 50 or 60 bucks a month, that'd be a whole lot better.
Yeah.
All right. Yes.
And so that's kind of what we're
working on that.
We're starting that little research. And again, you know, it takes a while to get these things put together. Probably won't have this available until sometime early next year.
Next year. Okay.
You know, but yeah, so that's,
I'm always
I'm always working on projects. No,
yes, you are.
The naming is always, you know,
fun part.
The committee that does that.
Well, we actually have a company in New York that helps us name stuff. I pay them enormous amounts of money to come up with the proper names that will fit with marketing and that the Food and Drug Administration won't get pissy about.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right. Well, you want to keep talking
Fine
about
line to walk.
Gut health?
Because sure.
We have Mary on the line from Puyallup. Hi there, Mary. Welcome. I think you want to know more about this gut stuff.
Hello, Mary.
Yes, I did. Thank you. I have two issues today that I'd like to talk about. And one, my number one thing is I've been experiencing migraines for the past 30 years. And I think a lot of this is coming from my gut, the inflammation, the leaky gut, maybe overgrowth of candida. And I'd like to hear you talk about that and what I can do. And then this kind of rolls into my next thing after you talk about what I can do for my gut. I started taking aloe vera gel a couple weeks ago, and I'm not 100% sure but if it was the aloe vera. But suddenly, I was outside working a little bit, and I came in, and my skin was feeling prickly. I stripped down to get into a cold bathtub because I was burning hot. And my skin was bright red, head to toe, front and back. And I don't know if that was a reaction to the aloe vera or was it something else. And I've had it two more times since last Saturday.
Okay. And the major change you had is the intake of aloe vera orally. So I think I would stop the aloe vera and see if it went away. aloe vera is an interesting compound, and it is very soothing on the skin.
I've never heard of an allergy to it.
Yeah. But neither have I. But you know,
but that or any other change, you got to reverse the most recent changes, and that sounds like the one you've identified.
That's right. That's the one I'd start with at least. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but the migraines for 30 years.
Hmm.
Have you?
Yeah.
I mean, you sound like you're a lady of some mature years, so I think you are probably past
64.
Menopause now. Yes.
Yes.
So you're probably about 15 years, post-menopause.
Mm-hmm.
Back when the 15 years before that, were you able to correlate your migraines with your periods at all?
Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They were always there during that time.
Yeah, see, the drop in progesterone triggers migraines in an awful lot of women. It's kind of an interesting phenomena in that about 75-80% of all of the emergency room visits for migraine headaches in women occur in the week before their period, when that progesterone drops to start triggering the menstrual bleed is also when most women get their migraines. And, you know, when my mother was a migraineur, she used to be in bed sometimes for 8 or 10 days a month with migraine disease, just could not get up. And,
three migraines a week, every single week.
And when we stabilized her hormones, we put her hormones back to where they used to be and got her progesterone, mm-hmm. testosterone, estradiol, and so on up to a healthy level. She stopped having migraines. She had been disabled by them for decades, and we were able to actually totally get rid of her migraines by just moving her hormone balance back up and giving her adequate progesterone, estradiol, and testosterone all the time. So
it seems to me like when I try to take estrogen, I get a headache. I get a migraine taking it.
Yeah.
I'm on progesterone. I didn't mention, and through all of this, I also have a lot of food sensitivities.
Okay. Question from what is your progesterone blood level?
I did have some blood work done, so I don't know. I have to say I don't know.
All right, see, because mid-cycle, before their migraines usually trigger, most women are running progesterone levels somewhere up in the range of 12, 15 nanograms per deciliter. And then at migraine time, it drops down almost to zero. So it's not how much progesterone you take, it's how much is actually in your bloodstream. You know, there's nothing magical about swallowing a pill or putting on a cream. The magic comes in how much is actually in your system. And that's why I ask about what is your blood levels, because that's
right.
the thing we need to know. So are you one of our patients?
I'm not.
Okay. I was going to ask who your doctor was, and I was going to send him a note and tell him to follow up on your blood levels. You might want to become one, because I think there's a good chance we can get rid of those migraines for you. But
okay.
You
know, alrighty.
Always up to you. Okay, young lady, I hear the music. We got to go.
All right.
Thank you for the
call.
Thank
you.
Thank you, Mary. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. We're going to talk with Lisa about her eyes in just a moment. And John, we have your call as well. Here's the number to get through to get in the call queue. It's 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. And we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Stay right there.